You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
4 WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. Attorney General Josh Call has announced that Wisconsin joined a multi-state lawsuit against the U.S. Department of Education for illegally cutting congressionally approved funding for mental health programs in K-12 schools. The coalition argues that the Department of Education unlawfully issued non-continuation notices of two nationwide programs designed to increase access to school-based mental health professionals and to address long-standing shortages of counselors, psychologists, and social workers in K-12 schools. The cuts affect hundreds of thousands of students across the country and would significantly reduce implementation of key mental health initiatives. These programs were first established after the tragic school shooting in Parkland, Florida, and expanded after the school shooting in Uvalde, Texas, when a bipartisan Congress appropriated $1 billion in order to permanently bring 14,000 mental health professionals into the schools that needed it the most. The Department of Education awarded grants spanning a 5-year project period and makes yearly decisions to continue each grant's funding. Under its regulations, the Department of Education is supposed to consider the grantee's performance when deciding whether to continue funding. The programs have delivered. According to the National Association of School Psychologists, grantees served nearly 775,000 students and hired nearly 1,300 school mental health professionals during the first year of funding. NASP also found a 50% reduction in suicide risk at high-need schools, decreases in absenteeism and behavioral issues, and increases in positive student-staff engagement based on data from sampled programs. The Wisconsin Office of Rural Health has produced a statewide report revealing that fire departments across Wisconsin, especially in rural areas, are facing serious challenges that threaten their ability to respond to emergencies reliably, safely, and efficiently. The Reliability of Wisconsin's Fire Service report, based on contributions from 418 fire chiefs representing 52% of departments statewide, highlights a growing crisis in staffing, funding, and training that could impact public safety if not addressed. Key findings show 85% of rural fire departments operate entirely with volunteers. Over 80% of firefighters receive little or no monetary compensation. 62% of departments are worried they will be unable to adequately staff their first-due apparatuses in the next year. 49% reported responding to building alarm calls with fewer than the required 4 firefighters in the past year, and 34% lack sufficient funding to pay their projected expenses. Fire chiefs interviewed recommend regionalizing or consolidating fire departments to merge staff, budgets, and resources, offer tax incentives to support firefighter recruitment and retention, expand access to training, especially in rural areas, and allow more flexible funding mechanisms for local governments. Wisconsin Office of Rural Health says correcting these deficiencies is going to require elected leaders to prioritize significant investment into community fire departments. It is also likely that many communities will need to regionalize services to share cost. There is a demonstrated need for investment in the workforce through additional funding for wages and training. The Wisconsin Supreme Court has struck down the state's 176-year-old abortion ban. The court's liberal majority ruled 4-3 that the ban is no longer valid because newer abortion restrictions superseded it. State lawmakers adopted the total ban in 1849. It was in effect until 1973 when the U.S. Supreme Court's Roe v. Wade decision legalizing abortion nullified it, and it was never repealed. Conservatives argued that the U.S. Supreme Court's 2022 decision overturning Roe reactivated the prohibition. Attorney General Josh Call sued, arguing that a 1985 state law that prohibits abortions after viability essentially repealed the ban. Madison police arrested a woman who allegedly attacked a person using an electric weapon. 18-year-old Jayla Stubbs is accused of pulling out that weapon early Sunday morning during a confrontation with the victim. Police got a report of the fight just before 2 a.m., and when officers arrived, the male victim said Stubbs pulled the weapon and sparked it several times before attacking him. Stubbs pleaded not guilty Tuesday to charges of possession of an electric weapon, battery, and disorderly conduct. The Riverdale School District was awarded the Outstanding Agricultural Education Program in the state of Wisconsin for 2025 at the Wisconsin Association of Agricultural Educators Banquet on June 25th. Programs were evaluated on key areas such as curriculum, experiential learning, leadership opportunities, partnerships, and more. Riverdale Ag teacher and FFA advisor Callie Coe said, quote, "I worked hard for this, but so have my family, my students, my administration, our district, and our community. Thank you for helping me provide opportunities for our students to become college, career, and life ready." Whether your Independence Day celebrations include fireworks, barbecues, pools, or parties, Ready Wisconsin urges everyone to prioritize safety and responsibility. In 2024, there were 137 emergency room visits in Wisconsin for fireworks-related injuries, according to the Wisconsin Department of Health Services. More than a quarter of those injured were children less than 18 years old. Children should never handle fireworks and should be closely supervised when they are in use. Even novelties like sparklers can burn at roughly 2,000 degrees Fahrenheit and easily ignite clothing and cause severe burns. The simplest way to safely enjoy fireworks is to watch community shows run by professionals. However, if you choose to set off your own fireworks, Ready Wisconsin asks people to remember: obey local laws and permitting requirements for the use of fireworks. Always use fireworks outside and have a bucket of water or a hose nearby. For ground-based fireworks, be at least 35 feet away. Sometimes fireworks don't go off, but the duds continue to pose a risk. Never attempt to relight or approach a failed firework. Let the duds sit for 5 to 10 minutes before you put them in a bucket of water. Fireworks can be extremely stressful for pets. Keep them indoors, close the curtains or blinds, and turn on the TV or radio to provide a distraction. Only light one firework at a time. Lighting multiple fireworks at the same time increases the risk of accidents occurring from the fuse burning faster than designed. Consider safer alternatives to fireworks, such as party poppers, bubbles, silly string, or glow sticks. Firework safety is just one piece of the puzzle for a safe holiday celebration. Barbecues, road trips, and pool parties are also popular activities. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulotz.
The Mets beat the Miz. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, baseball. The Brewers' Jacob Mizorowski was off to one of the best starts for a pitcher in the history of baseball. Last night, though, he ran into a little trouble, loaded the bases, then gave up a grand slam. The Mets beat the Brewers 7-3. Pat Murphy on why he had to pull Mizorowski out after 3 2/3 innings.
Ball wasn't coming off his fingers the same way. It was kind of like one time he let it go back here, the next time out here, and you could see he was pushing it sometimes. And his whole body was not in sync.
So now Mizorowski's record is 3 wins and 1 loss. Earlier in the day, the Brewers beat the Mets 7-2. Home runs by Sal Frelick, Isaac Collins, and Joey Ortiz hit his first career grand slam, giving credit to teammate Freddy Peralta.
You see it from the offense when the starting pitcher is doing what he can out there to get us back in to go swing. I mean, the offense usually stays locked in all game, and the process is more important than the results at times, so you just kind of got to grind through.
That's Brewers shortstop Joey Ortiz with Sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Not a lot opening wide this weekend, but there is almost one slam dunk blockbuster, and that is Jurassic World Rebirth, which opened yesterday and is expected to easily finish in first place at the box office, as Universal Studios is hoping for a $100 to $130 million haul over the five-day holiday weekend. The film is scoring mediocre reviews at best. Only 2 of the 7 Jurassic films in the franchise have drawn over 60% or fresh readings on Rotten Tomatoes. Rebirth stars Scarlett Johansson and Mahershala Ali and is directed by Gareth Edwards. If you're not in the mood for dinosaurs, check out F1, the Formula One racing film starring Brad Pitt. And if you want some horror and a great theater experience, check out 28 Weeks Later. Opening in limited release are a couple swell re-releases, including This is Spinal Tap, which hits the big screen a couple months before the long-awaited latest chapter, Spinal Tap 2, drops. Let's go to the movies. Big Brother Season 27 is about to drop, but there is an exciting new twist, according to the people who created said twist. Variety says three contestants from previous seasons will drop by every Friday night to analyze the sitch. Other highlights for this coming season will include a mystery hotel theme and a living room with chess guardians, whatever that means. Season 27 of Big Brother drops July 10th on CBS. In other Season 27 news, the creators of South Park are not happy about the delay in their latest season reaching viewers. Trey Parker and Matt Stone are blaming the Paramount merger with Skydance for the long wait between seasons. Season 26 finished 2 years ago. A recent update was that the new season would drop July 9, but that has been pushed back again to July 27. Just guessing, we will see Parker and Stone's frustration with the networks in a South Park episode in the near future. The Devil Wears Prada is coming back, but not every cast member will return. The production started last week on Prada 2. Meryl Streep, Anne Hathaway, Emily Blunt, and Stanley Tucci are all back. Adrian Grenier, however, will not be back as Nate Cooper in the sequel. He played Anne Hathaway's love interest and a short order cook in the first film. Grenier's claim to fame is, of course, the show Entourage, but he has not done much since. In other casting news, actor Kenneth Branagh will join the production as Meryl Streep's character, Miranda Priestley's husband. There's a new action comedy that might be worth a look. Heads of State tells the story of the UK Prime Minister, played by Idris Elba, and the United States President, played by John Cena, which seems more realistic than it's ever been. The two characters butt heads but have to team up to overthrow a global plot that threatens freedom. The film is receiving a 66% on Rotten Tomatoes and an 85% audience score and can be streamed on Amazon Prime. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
It is going to be a hot and humid couple of days. Today, sunny with a chance of an isolated thunderstorm late this afternoon and again tonight. Our high today, 88. Tonight, upper 60s. The 4th of July will be sunny, hot, and humid with a high of 91. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 75.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.